Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Big Show. Mike Max, Sports to the Max, News Talk 830, WCCO. Big Show planned for you tonight. Pete Najarian's coming in studio at 8 o'clock. We'll talk business. We'll talk sports. We'll talk Super Bowl. Gary Leaf in for Ron Scher at 7 o'clock. We hope to be able to connect with Ron. He's down in Mexico, where, based on the pictures that I've seen so far, he has had no luck deep sea fishing. Oh, what a shock. Oh, what a shock. We'll catch up to him a little bit later. But joining me now, as I do each and every year on MLK Day, I bring into the conversation Al Nunes, one of my favorites. Came here to the University of Minnesota back in the 60s, standout in the basketball team for the Golden Gophers, and stayed. Became a high-ranking executive at Jostens, retired, teaches a class over at Hopkins now, Hopkins High School, to high school-age African-American boys about what it means to live in society at this point in time and what the expectations should be and much more. So it's an interesting conversation on MLK Day. It's an interesting conversation any day with Al Nunes. Al, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Maxie, how you doing, buddy?
Good, good. Always good to visit with you. Let's start with some good old basketball talk. The Gophers had an interesting week last week. They get hammered by Illinois, a winless team, and they almost get beat. They survive against Penn State. Hard to figure this team this year, Al.
I think they forgot this is a grown man's league here that they're playing in the Big Ten, and it's been pretty tough. It's much tougher this year than I anticipated. I really thought at the beginning that Minnesota would be in the top five, and now after seeing the league, it's going to be tough. They still have the talent, they still can do it, but it's going to be a lot tougher for them, especially when we have a Penn State team that come in and we're at home, and boy, we beat them at the buzzer almost.
You know,
but it's been a tough 2 weeks for the Nunes and the Jones family in basketball.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. You've got the relationship to Tyus and Trey, your cousins, their father. And I've never seen anything like that. One goes down on national TV, a shoulder injury, and the next night Tyus sprains his ankle.
Right.
And both of them, I mean, these were not small injuries. I mean, Tyus, now they said it was not a high ankle sprain. That's the good news, right?
Right. And the good news for Trey is that it really wasn't a shoulder dislocation. So he possibly can be back, but they're not giving a timetable yet.
Well, and I think a lot of us from afar are saying, hey, come on, let's get Trey to the big dance here at the big stadium in Minneapolis come Final Four time, right?
Boy, wouldn't that be great? That would be great.
I watched those guys. They won without him against an undefeated Virginia team. They're a different team, certainly, without him. But it's amazing, Al, when you get the right – it doesn't matter if they're all fresh. We talk about experience and all those things. Then you look at Duke. They throw a bunch of freshmen out there that know how to play the game, and it doesn't matter, does it?
No, it doesn't, Maxie. But the big thing with Trey, they can win some games without him, but they can't make the road to the Final Four without him. He is such a defensive presence with pressure on the ball. You know, even Krzyzewski is saying he's probably the best he's ever had. And this kid's still a freshman.
Yeah, and Coach K, you know what he does. I mean, he's going to recruit one top-line point guard, and he's going to hope he gets, you know, obviously you want as many as you can get, but he just wants to make sure he gets one, and he takes his chances, and now he's got a different game plan he's using, and he's a good enough chess player as a coach to get away with a lot of things because he's a smart coach, but you can just see the way they're built, can't you, that it's got to be Trey and Williamson. Everybody, he knows exactly where he wants each guy.
Maxie, I got to tell you a story. We don't talk unless I've got a good story.
That's right.
You know, Coach K and I have known each other since high school.
I did not know that.
We were both All-State in Illinois.
Oh, Chicago area, sure.
Yes. And when they won the state championship, the national championship, we had never done any business with Duke. And we went down, and my guy went down and told him that, hey, Al Nunes is our boss. And, you know, he said, you should give us some business. So Coach K says, hey, you get no business from me unless Al comes down in person.
Uh-huh.
So I go down. Now, this is when they won. This is when Tyus was in the eighth grade and Trey was in the fourth grade.
Okay.
So I go down, take his crap. He gives me a whole lot of crap in front of all of his guys. But surprising to him, I have a picture of him and I. And he had a crew cut haircut. We were in high school.
Yeah.
And they just went crazy.
So, they liked that, huh?
Oh, so I tell him, I said, hey, remember the name Tyus Jones? And he says, oh, yeah, you never gave me any players. Sure. I said, just remember the name Tyus Jones.
Yeah.
And I said, by the way, Trey Jones, who's in the fourth grade, is a great Duke fan. I need you to sign a calendar for him. And so he does it. And guess what? Where does both guys go to school?
Oh, my God. Have you reminded him of that?
Oh, you know I have.
Was he a really good player in high school? What was he?
Oh, yeah. He was All-State.
Yeah?
He was All-State. He played in the Catholic school. He was All-State in the Catholic League.
Yep. Point guard?
Point guard, yes.
So you would not play him because it was separated, the public and the private schools?
Right. But we played in the same All-Star game, but he said I shot too much.
Well, that's not the first time I've heard that.
No.
Let me take you back to what today means to a lot of people, MLK Day. You lived it. You were here in the 60s, came to the University of Minnesota campus when politics were active. Take me back to what was that period of time like in your life, not just on the basketball court, but and you were not the first African-American to play at Minnesota, but you were one of the first.
Well, you know, no, I wasn't. I wasn't the first. I was the second African-American captain of the basketball team, but I was also the first African-American ever hired full-time on the staff at the University of Minnesota.
Really?
Yes.
That's hard to believe. There was not a full-time African-American coach until – I mean, I guess it makes sense now when you say it, but you're just so used to see – you know, it's changed so much.
Yeah. Yeah, I was the first, and I was the first in basketball. And that same year, they hired Mo Forte, and he came in football.
Wow! Yeah, he went on to an NFL career.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So at that period of time, who was Martin Luther King in your life as a young person?
Well, for me, you know, this was we were growing up at a time when you had Martin Luther King at his peak, and then there was Smokey Carmichael. Mm-hmm. You know, so there was the nonviolent movement by Martin Luther King. And then there was, Stokey Carmichael that was saying, hey, we're not turning the cheek anymore. That time of Martin Luther King had passed. So there was kind of a tug and a pull between the black youth at that time, which way to go. But, you know, Martin Luther King will always be the special, most important person. You know, I just got a tweet from my son tonight that said there's two people in his life that he respects, his dad and Martin Luther King, that are heroes in his life.
Right? Yeah.
So, you know, it means an awful lot to African Americans and for people to understand what it all means, because see, sometimes it gets lost in this whole racial tension that we have, that we had African Americans that were brought over in slavery, and we had indentured white servants that were brought over, but they were all given land and something to start with. The African American slaves were given nothing. You know, they were set free, but they had nothing to build on. There was nothing at all. There was no land. There was no food. You were just set free.
You're just on your own.
Right. And so when people say, you know, that you had a leg up or you had an advantage, that's kind of when you go back to the bare roots of what they're talking about. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So it makes a difference.
It makes it, and was inner city Chicago a lot different than inner city Minneapolis, or is inner city Minneapolis just a smaller version of inner city Chicago?
No, let me tell you something. Actually, when I first came to Minneapolis, they were telling me about North Minneapolis and the projects, and I went to North Minneapolis and I said, "Where's the projects?
They don't exist based on what you've seen, right?
No,
this ain't Cabrillo Green, right?
Right, right. There was no comparison. There was nothing like what was going on in Chicago at that time.
You've got a great story, though. You went down. Your team went down to play down in Texas in a basketball tournament. I guess a holiday tournament probably would have been. You pick it up from there because you almost didn't play a game because of the tension that existed.
It's a very interesting thing because we were playing at SMU tournament, and we were playing Ole Miss. We were warming up for the game, and the Ole Miss team didn't come out, and the horn blew, and so John Cunliffe pulled us over to the side, and he said, "Hey guys, there's a problem with the game right now, and the Ole Miss team has to call back to their president to see if it's okay for them to play us, because we had three African Americans on our team at the time." And I mean, we were just stunned. We were floored. I couldn't believe it. And so they finally come out to play.
Yep.
And during the game, you know, I'm still pretty upset.
Yeah.
I really give the guard that was guarding me a hard. I was guarding at that time a hard foul. And I kind of stood over him and said, "Don't worry, the color won't rub off on you." And he kind of looked at me strange, but, you know, we went on and we won the game. And a few years later, I'm an assistant coach at the University of Minnesota, and I'm scouting Clyde Turner. And this guy, his coach, comes up, he sits down next to me, and he says, "Who are you scouting?" I told him who I was scouting. He said, "Yeah, we're looking at him too." And he said, "Where are you staying at?" I told him where I was staying. He said, "You don't remember me, do you?" And I said, "No." He said, "I'm that guy that you said the color won't rub off on." And it kind of floored me. And he said, he went on to tell me the truth. He said, "You know, we wanted to play. We tried to call back to our president, and we couldn't reach him, and the team voted unanimously to play."
And you never knew that, huh?
Never knew that. And I told that story to my guys at Hopkins, because you can never judge the book by looking at its cover.
You got to be so careful, don't you?
You do.
What you think is the truth versus what is the truth.
Right, right.
Oh, and now I mentioned you teach this class at Hopkins, and I went out and observed it last year. It was really fun for me to watch. And you have a group of African-Americans, all underclassmen, and you're talking to them about life. What is, if you're going to give a paragraph syllabus of what you want them to get out of it, because it's a really interesting discussion, because it's one of those few classes that deals with the real world. This isn't algebra. This isn't calculus. This isn't geometry. This is what really confronts kids on a daily basis, and specifically African-American kids, because they can now express how they feel or what happened with each other. Take me through that.
Well, we have basically two poems that we build this whole class around and structure around. One is the Invictus poem, which absolutely talks about you are the captain of your faith and the master of your soul. We also have the other one that talks about the man in the glass, that, you know, you can fool everybody else, but you can't fool that person looking back at you from the glass. And it's about respect. It's about giving respect if you want respect. It's about learning not to quit. It's pushing your way through. Don't even drop a class. You know, if it's tough, it's tough. But life's tough, and we've had a great learning. I have seniors in that class now, and our next speaker coming in is a financial planner, mm-hmm. and this is what these guys ask for.
Yep.
So it's coming. They're getting it. They're getting what it's all about. We've got some entrepreneurs that want to start their own business, and I had Steve Stinsky come in who owns Spectrum Screen Printing. He took a couple of my guys out to his place to look at it. I mean, it's that kind of thing that's happening, and we need more of that, Maxie. We need more taking time.
You got to lift the lid, let them know what's possible, right?
Exactly. We had Jeff Municki from the Timberwolves.
Yeah, good man.
Come out and talk to the kids about other jobs that are related to sports other than actually playing or coaching. Talking about the marketing jobs. Talking about the jobs in film and finance it's just been a great experience for me, and I'm enjoying it, and the kids are enjoying it.
What do you learn about the kids through this? What surprised you that you didn't know about today's teenager?
Well, you know, I'm one right now that I'm really from the old school, so mm-hmm. I've had to really get accustomed to this new young generation, because their attention spans are not as long.
Yep.
I just don't think you can keep them in a classroom setting more than 45 minutes or an hour before you lose them.
Yep.
So they absorb stuff, but they absorb it a lot faster, and you have to keep their attention span. That's why it's important that I have something different for them to grasp and to think about. And for me, that's working, because I think these kids, with the electronics and everything else, their attention span is just so short.
And can you get around that? Is there a different way to teach it?
Well, I haven't found it yet. And I think there's a lot of people smarter than me trying to figure it out. I think it's just the nature of the beast right now.
Yeah, it is. It is the nature of the beast. But there's always something you can give them. There's always a takeaway, even if it's 45 minutes, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. And I think that's the secret. The secret is to pack your message in tightly and something that they can grasp and 10, 15, 20 minutes, and if they need to work on something, give them another 10, 15, 20 minutes to work on it. But it's really holding their attention span is the secret. And there are a lot of good teachers that have figured this out, and it's working very well in the public school system today.
Yeah, and Al Nolan, who you know, the former Gopher guard, is doing something similar out of Park Center High School, and I thought, you know, it's not like you're going to solve every problem that these kids have, but it sure is nice to see them feel like they can talk about them.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I was at the University of Minnesota game. It was alumni night, and Al came up to me and said, "Hey, you know, I just want you to know I saw your program on WCCO, and I've got one working over at
Park Center."
Park Center, yeah. Yes. And so we chatted a little bit about that because Al's nephew goes to Hopkins and is one of the kids that I keep an eye on over at Hopkins. And I told him, I said, "Hey, I know your uncle and your father. Your father played for me at Central High School."
Oh, he did?
Oh, yeah. Al Senior.
Was he on that greatest team that never made the state tournament?
No, he was on the team the following year.
Okay. But he could play too?
Oh, yeah.
That's good stuff. Hey, Al, I got to let you go, but I sure appreciate it always and appreciate your friendship over the years.
Hey, we'll stay in touch. I've got something I'll be talking to you about coming up pretty soon before the Final Four I'd like your input on. So
oh, perfect.
I'll get in touch with you.
I always enjoy it. Thank you so much, Al Nunes.
All right, take care.
What a perfect guest for MLK Day, huh? Wasn't that something, Susan, all that he saw and was gone through? Welcome back, Sports to the Max. Bernie Kukar is going to join us tomorrow night. He refereed the first time the New England Patriots played the Rams in the Super Bowl. He was the head referee in that Super Bowl. Tom Brady had his coming out party and he'd already played. He played well that year, but he had the big game and two-minute Thomas, they say. Took him down and got the field goal from Vinatieri. Interesting. Brady, Belichick, Vinatieri are still playing, are still involved in it. Belichick is a coach. But we'll visit him with him tomorrow about the missed call yesterday and all those things that people are up in arms about tomorrow on this program. I want to send out my best to the Eggestall family in Gaylord, Minnesota. The God, God, and angels, they say. Mary Beth Eggestall passed away yesterday after a courageous fight. She had open heart surgery, and she was just a kind, kind lady over the years. And the people in Gaylord, Minnesota know her well. And she was just always had a smile on her face and a positive attitude and an encouraging word for those people that were around her. And she's got five great kids surrounding her this past weekend. But God got an angel when he got Mary Beth. And the best of the family. And we should all be so fortunate as to have those kinds of people living in our town and in our lives. Stay with us.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.